Thanks for the introduction. We're happy to be here and talking to you guys. It's lots of fun for us. The thing we have in common is that we all are very fond of our high school physics teachers, so this is lots of fun. And I'm just going to let the team introduce what they did specifically on the animation.
I'm Kieran Sachdev, and I was sort of the physics guy in this team. I studied physics and math at McGill. So I had a pretty good understanding of special relativity, and then, you know, with a lot of thinking and trial and error, figured out a good way to teach it specifically to these two, and then to the world.
Okay, so my name is Bogdan Luca. I don't have a physics background. I'm a visual artist and animator, illustrator, so this was a great experience for me. I met this great people, and basically did the visual aspect of the presentation.
And my name is Jackie English, and I work in educational children's television for TV Ontario. And I also have a degree in mechanical engineering, so I have some, well, maybe arguably to physicists, but some physics background. and I did most of the sort of the writing and the story and the voiceover. On the sort of the narrative side of the animation. So that's Team Canada. Woo! We won!
Yes!
Okay. And when we came to present the animation, more than just showing it to you, or we thought we would ask you guys a question, because this is what was so interesting about this particular animation is that it's interactive and it's visually appealing, and it's something that perhaps could be used in your classrooms in teaching this kind of topic to your students. Has anyone here tried to teach special relativity to their students? Awesome! Yes! Well, you should use this. So maybe after we talk about the animation, and has anyone here seen it already? Just curious? Okay, cool. Well, after we talk about it, maybe you guys can give some feedback in how you see this fitting into your world as teachers.
Okay, so actually, let's watch a little bit of it, just the beginning, so you get an idea of what it is. This page we won't worry about right now. It just tells you.
Meet Little Al. Al, say hello.
Hello.
Little Al is supposed to be traveling to Italy to visit his mother, but it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. Maybe he doesn't realize his train has left the station already. Click the curtains to shed some light. Well, look at that. Al is traveling to Italy. Only now that he sees the landscape sailing past the window does he know he is moving relative to the ground. Try changing your perspective to see how Al is moving. From the ground's perspective, Al is moving, and the ground is not. From Al's perspective, the ground is moving, and he is not. From the sun's perspective, Al, the train, and the ground are all moving in orbit.
So every once in a while in this animation, in addition to those interactions about changing your perspective, it asks you a question. It makes you come to the conclusion. So here it's he's made a discovery. Is it that A, everyone everywhere in the universe agrees on my speed, or B, my speed depends on your perspective, motion is relative?
So who votes for A?
Okay, we have two. Okay.
Nice. And three. B, anybody?
Okay, right. Okay, let's try B. Well done.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
So, yeah.
And then there's a little additional explanation. So, for the purposes of the presentation today, Kieran's going to talk about how this lets you have a sort of a personal experience learning to think like a physicist. Luca's going to talk about the role of animation in communicating physics. And then I'm going to talk about the edutainment aspect in engaging you. So, Kieran.
Okay. Because it's interactive, one of the great things about it is that you can go at your own pace. And one of the suggested criteria in the competition was that it should be about 5 minutes. In reality, people spend probably about 20 minutes on our thing, You can zip through it if you want to, but you probably won't get much out of it that way. But the great thing is that, I mean, if you want to review a part of the story, you can. Using this notebook, you can go, you know, to back to this point. Later, there'll be a whole bunch of points on here, and then you can review it if you're like, oh, I don't understand what just happened, or you went and had a coffee and you missed it, you can review it. I'm just going to play one other part here. I'm just going to fast forward through a bit. He builds himself a little clock. This is all in his imagination.
Of light. And, his permanent clock keeps track of the time. And
he takes off in this ship. His mother watches him.
Since light can't speed up.
Through binoculars.
To watch Al. She sees that not only is Al's clock ticking slowly, Al's mom zooms in to watch Al. She sees that not only is Al's clock ticking slowly, but Al is moving slowly as well, and thinking slowly. Al's time has slowed down compared to her own.
So at this point, we have, you know, we see, we've watched something happen. We've watched it from a couple different perspectives. We've watched it from Al's perspective, where he's just in this ship, and he's bouncing his ball in sync with his light clock. It's a photon going up and down. And then we see it from his mother's perspective, and so we can see the differences. Now, at this point, it's, you know, we come to a conclusion, and our conclusion is just that if I move fast away from my mom, she sees my time slow down. It's a really small, bite-sized conclusion. We're not jumping ahead and trying to say something like time changes or anything, right? All we're saying is what we've observed. So in this way, you're sort of, we're trying to pull people into thinking the way a physicist does. You know, you observe something, in this case it's through a thought experiment, you observe something and you come to a very simple step-by-step conclusion. And here we can also see that we have all these steps, we can go back, but wait, why did we decide that time is, or that the speed of light is always the same, and we could go back and review that. So the whole point is that you can go at your own pace, and you make the conclusions yourself. And it also, because it's we're framing it as Al is imagining this scenario, you sort of end up imagining it yourself. I mean, all this stuff could be done just in your imagination. This sort of helps you figure out how to do that, how to do these thought experiments yourself. Yeah, so let's move on to the animation.
Okay, well, I guess as Kieran said, some of these concepts are really require a lot of imagination and thought experiments, and it's sometimes hard to understand that from writing or equations, and I think that animation is the perfect medium to make these ideas visible and more accessible to people. I think most people are intimidated by, you know, trying to read a book on relativity or some of these very advanced concepts, but if we can deliver them in a way that is accessible, and we do live in a visual culture, and I think animation uses both space and time, and that way we can visualize some of these ideas that we cannot create an experiment to show that, you know, if you travel close to the speed of light, somebody else might perceive you as moving slow. It's hard to create an experiment, so we can visualize that in animation and basically let you draw the conclusion. So, and also the through animation and design, we can target, depending on the topic, to a specific audience by creating characters that are age appropriate and fun, and making fun learning interesting in that way.
One key too is that animation uses time and space, right? And like physics is all about time and space, particularly this topic, but pretty much any topic in physics. So whereas on a chalkboard you have space, but where's the time, right? So animation is it really lends itself towards physics explanations in that way.
And one of the things I like also about animation and the fact that we were able to show things and demonstrate things is that, you know, at the university level or whatever level you're teaching this, generally you express these abstractions through math. But if you can take the math away, you can actually lower considerably the age to which you're teaching this. And actually, this particular animation was designed for any layperson with no particular physics background. But it's useful to everyone. And actually here at the Perimeter Institute was in the children's zone for their Einstein Fest last fall, before it even won the competition. And so it was engaging enough to even appeal to small children. So that was interesting for us to notice, because we weren't targeting them at all. And speaking of engagement, or going on to engagement and entertaining, one key thing in attracting, especially like a layperson or somebody who has no real motivation to learn this topic, is to capture their attention somehow, is probably, I would imagine, a challenge for you as teachers also. And one thing that's advantageous, one thing that we decided to do was to make it a narrative story. You saw a little bit about him having a gift shop in outer space. He's going to get a present for his mother. There's actually a space cop who's you know, patrolling space for people breaking the speed of light. He's obviously bored. No one's breaking it. You know, things that can engage the audience in an entertaining way, and characters you can relate to. Rather than using sort of a point of view perspective where you're participating, you participate through the eyes of Al. So there's like a little guy that you can relate to and you feel sort of emotionally connected to. Also, the advantage of having different characters for this topic especially is because you can change your perspective. Right, which is the whole thing with special relativity, is whose perspective are you looking at any given time. And maybe we could watch a part of the animation that is particularly narrative. No matter what is going on around him, Al always feels like everything is normal. From his perspective, he is standing perfectly still while the universe moves around him.
Mama!
Al arrives in Italy and is met at the station by his mother. He promptly starts bouncing his ball again.
My little Al, always studying physics.
Al enjoys studying the physics of his ball bouncing up and down, but wonders what other physics there is. Al finds a law of physics that says light waves move through space at a speed called c, almost 300,000 kilometers per second. Al has an idea. For him to always feel like everything's normal, he must always see light travel through space at 300,000 kilometers per second.
Yeah.
Just like his ball always bounces straight up and down. So just how fast is that? There you go. The light bulb was because they were light equations.
Yeah, it's Maxwell's equation. So, yeah.
So we tried to make it, to make it personal. And actually, when Al comes back from his space journey, his mother has aged considerably and he has not. A little more than 2 years after Al set out on his adventure, Al reaches Earth again. His mom has missed him terribly. From her perspective, the gift shop stayed 10 light years away from Earth, so Al's journey took over 20 years. While Al is only 2 years older, his mom has aged 20 years. It's a poignant way to end.
Sorry to give away the ending.
That's how we decided to engage. So the engaging aspect of the narration and the story combined with the visual appeal of the animation and the power that animation gives you to show things you can't show in experiment in the classroom, combined with the sort of the step-by-step interactive personal experience, is why we think this might be something that could be used on this topic or other topics in like a classroom setting. So we're going to turn it around now and ask you guys if you see that, or what would make it more so, or how you feel about that.
Any comments?
Right now it's online. No, it's a...
The web address is onestick.com/relativity. It's onestick.com.
Has anybody here already shown their class this? I think there was. Yeah. And how? Sorry, did you say yes? Can you say maybe what they thought of that?
Okay.
Sorry, did you have a question here? I saw your hand up.
Well, let's try it. It's rare, yeah. So when I return from a high-speed trip, I've aged less than my mom, or when I return from high-speed round trip, I'm the same age as when I left? B. All right, let's try B. Nope. You'll never answer wrong again after that.
Scathing. And then actually, if you get to the end of the animation, there's a little certificate that you can print out that says,
Al decides that his theory of relativity is very real. When you move relative to someone else, your space and time change relative to them. But as sure as Al's ball will always bounce straight up and down, the speed of light will always be the same.
Yeah, so you can go to the diploma and put in your name and print it off and say, I've now done it.
The website is www.onestick, all spelled out, onestick.com/relativity.
And then for the real keeners, there's bonus features here. That's just all text, paradoxes and the Doppler effect. In the explanation of it, we didn't frame things as paradoxes, which you often see in textbooks, I think, where they say, well, whose time is slower, this one or this one? And I find it, like when I try to explain things to people that way, they just get confused, right? So we took it very simply, step by step, and making sure, guiding people by taking a perspective and saying, you're in this perspective, and you're looking at this, and you don't make any conclusions until the end. And it avoids all ideas of things appearing to be a paradox because you're not thinking about it the right way, right? We don't let people get to that point. But then at this point, if someone starts to think about it and say, oh, what about this? Then it's answered here. The goal of this, I would see, is as a good introduction to special relativity. I wouldn't say that this is like an entire course on special relativity, but it's. I think it's a really good introduction because there's nothing in it that is wrong, I think it gives you a good place to start from because you can visualize it correctly, like there's a you have a good sort of general understanding of it and what it means.
And we've tried being fairly rigorous even within the format of animation. There's a, for example, when Al is moving in his spaceship and he launches a small spaceship. Can you go to that?
From Al's perspective, not only is the cop squished, but the 99.5% the speed of light from his own ship, which is already traveling 99.5% the speed of light. From Al's perspective, the mini ship flies away at 99.5% the speed of light, so in 1 second it is almost 300,000 kilometers away. But from the perspective of the space cop, Al's 300,000 kilometer ruler is squished, and Al's clock is slow. So what Al measured is almost 300,000 kilometers in 1 second is, from the cop's perspective, a lot less than 300,000 kilometers in much more time than 1 second. result is while the moving process.
So you notice that we've tried as much as possible to show how squished it would actually be, and even make the little ship squished relative to the big ship, because obviously it would be more squished from the cops' perspective. So we've tried to, as much as possible, embed the actual physics into the actual animation, as well as the narration.
Yeah?
You said 20 minutes. So for a slow readout, for non-interested background students, is that how long it would take them to work their way through the entire presentation to go to the right?
I couldn't say for sure. I mean, we had a whole bunch of like friends of ours who have no physics background try it out, and they seem to spend on average 20 minutes. So, but they all had English as a first language, so there is reading involved that you don't necessarily have to read it. It's there, so. Probably, yeah. If they, you know, if someone's a slow reader, it'll take more time than that.
But that's the sort of beauty of interactivity, that you can go at your own pace. There's no time limit. You don't have to do it in 10 minutes.
And if you miss something, you can always go back.
Yeah, we do. We were thinking about doing a series of modern physics animations. We actually have been talking to Damien Pope here at PI about doing something like that. We like the idea of doing a general relativity one. It seems like the natural sequel. And I think that that topic is really conducive to animation and like being able to... It's one that's really good for just understanding the concepts of it, and it you don't have to get into the math. The math is really difficult of general relativity, but I think conceptually, I find conceptually it's simpler than special relativity. It's up. Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, it was targeting just the layperson, so not a particular age, but just your average physics-trained person on the street, because I think one of the goals that Pearly had in launching this challenge was to increase the sort of a global interest and awareness of Einstein's innovations in honor of the year of physics. I would actually ask Damien Pope how young the children were, and what they thought of it, because he was here for that.
Thank you. I'll just say, we actually showed this last October for 3 weekends during Einstein Fest in our kids' science tent. And that was geared for kids from the age 6 to 12. So I was in there for every day. And I saw large numbers of kids within that age who go up. And I mean, it was entertaining. They saw this thing on a computer. It was like a game. You know, it kind of spoke their language. So, and I saw them, you know, sitting down for long periods of time, 10, 15 minutes. And so they were very interested in it. We didn't do any studies or surveys in terms of what they learned, but just from the time they spent, they're very interested. And, you know, it's looking over their shoulder, they were getting a large proportion of the questions right. So at the very least, it engaged them and it started them on the journey. And I have a lot of trouble thinking of another way or a good way, or just, I mean, it seems like a very, very challenging thing to get 10-year-olds, you know, thinking about relativity. And if you could even just get them started, I think that, you know, is an excellent thing.
I think also if just some of the images and animations stick in their head, I think that accomplishes a lot.
I always wonder if maybe at a young age you might be more open to the strangeness of special relativity because you haven't spent a lot of time believing that time and space is not flexible. So maybe it's easier when you're younger.
Yeah.
Well, I spent a lot of time in elementary school the last couple of years after finishing high school for so long. And I found that that's really true. For And I think that when a child is just learning how to walk, they have to think three-dimensionally. They only get their head once up off the table. So there is some people don't realize there's a real different level of thinking at that age.
Was there a question up there?
Yeah, well, I just want to make a comment. What you've done resonates with the talk I heard from Lee Solomon, who's on the front of the here on time. He was talking about the enormous value that he received from talking to people in English and philosophy, how valuable that was to extending his own insights. And I think what you have done is married some of you with a background in physics and some of you in animation. And the value of that has been enormous. And I think as a physics community, we need to learn to talk to other people with each other, how to present our ideas better. Because in fact, physics is very good at it. We have these very abstract stuff when we inherited 150 years of presenting that on paper and iMac. And it's working very well for us.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's a very true thing.
The question we asked people when we were trying it out on people is a really hard question. It was, they would finish work and then they'd come back into the kitchen and I'd say, so tell me, what is the theory of special relativity? And it's a really hard question to answer, right? And they would, but then eventually they would just start talking, and then I found that was a really good way to get from them what they actually understood and remembered. Because they would start saying, "Well, your time goes slower. Oh no, then it's all about perspective, and you're always standing still." And there's like they would start spinning stuff out, and then they would start to piece it together. And I found that was the best way to get a poll from people. So that's probably the best question to ask.
And it's interesting. It's interesting too that when you start, when they come back, even if they have no background in physics, they start asking some really subtle questions that maybe the answer is the issue of the Doppler effect, which is in the sort of the notes at the end. But it's funny to see how they, when they start wrapping their minds about it, they start getting sort of into the spirit of the physics thinking.
Yeah, my email's on there. Do we have time for
one more question?
Okay. There weren't actually a second place and a third place. There was, what it was is there was one grand prize, and they had so many entries that they decided to have some other prizes, things like most humorous and...
Well, it was most humorous, though scientifically unexceptional.
Yeah, that was one of the prizes.
That was the title of the award.
Yeah, and it was somewhat humorous. Yeah, there were some good ones. Like if you go onto the Pirelli, I think it's PirelliAward.com. They'll list a couple of the other ones there. So check them out too.
All right, great.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And to Damien Pope for inviting us, and all you guys for chatting with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you for your exciting adventures. Pirelli, we know them here for tires, but apparently in Italy,
they're big for telecom.
Telecom, and so Pirelli is a company that moves things around really, really fast.
Yeah.
And that's part of the gig here. Yeah. Now, you guys, you have already established what the mode of exchange is going to be. Pirelli's flew you guys to Italy, gave you 4 days there, fed you beautifully. The wine, the sunshine.
Right. Well, it wasn't during the winter. But.
Oh, wow. Really? In the winter? So, if that's what the pay is going to be, where are you going to get that in Canada? This is the place. This is the place. This is the, it's a wonderful thing. So don't back down from it. It was a wonderful piece of work. And in appreciation, some Ontario.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Underway for some time, and Maureen has been working away at a fabulous rate getting things done. Our own organization has participated in part of the review and we have a commitment to participate in the future as well. And we thought that it's important for our membership to understand what the review process is about. Now, Maureen is secondary teacher herself. She and her colleagues have been seconded from, I believe it's the Niagara Board.
Catholic
Board in the Niagara Falls area. And she is putting her classroom expertise to work, but the other part of the job
is a huge. So I'm on. Thank you. When they invited me to come, I was thrilled to open it up to another group of people who hopefully will have input in our cycle of curriculum review. There's a page coming around. It's about halfway through my slide presentation. I'm going to go through the first part very quickly because it's the ministry part of the rules, the regulations, and we'll go through that very quickly. The blue pages that are coming around are basically what we joke about in my group as our job description. So when we talk about that, we're talking about the job description for this year. The ministry uses lots of terms. We'll call this year three of curriculum review. Some people, it's still called sustaining quality curriculum. It's now become curriculum review. Year three basically means we're in the third group of subjects. That's what science and technology, and technological education are. The third year of all the subjects. But we are in our first year of the review. So when I talk, I'll talk about the first year of the review. Basically, the review is to support students, to increase literacy and numeracy. You've seen that huge push in the government right now with the Literacy Numeracy Secretariat for 1 to 6 and the Student Success Learning to 18 for grades 7 to 12. So that's the big focus and the big push, and how does everything work toward that goal? That's one of the four pillars that this government has. So basically what we're doing is we're looking at all the policy documents that are out there now and we're reviewing them. Basically it is staged, which means it's going over a cycle of time, and that's what we're working on now. That's why we're called year three. Basically what we're taking is high quality, what we have, we're building on that, and we're trying to make a better continuum than what we currently have, because we know there are gaps in some of the pieces of the curriculum as we go. Hopefully it will give support to teachers, help targeting supports, as well as give lead time. One of the biggest criticisms in the last review, and in my former job, and what we always say is in our former life and in our current life at the ministry, that textbook The textbooks came out, the curriculum came out, everything came out at the same time, and we were making decisions on things we hadn't tried. And that was a really hard component of that review cycle. As we go through and as I talk about that diagram, those things are changed. The discussion times have been improved as we go. So what remains the same? Well, there's still going to be high standards. We're still going to have grade by grade. We are still going to have destination courses. So in science, we are still going to have workplace courses. We are still going to have college destination, university college destination, and university destination. Those are non-changeable things as we go through the review cycle. We're still going to have an achievement chart based on four levels. We are still going to have a provincial report card, and we are still going to have diploma requirements under OSS. However, OSS is currently under revision. So you know that blue document that's kind of the first Bible of all the things that have to happen in high schools? That is currently under revision for release by September of this year. So some of the components in that are changing. So that's something to keep in mind. You might be seeing some information on that. Achievement charts, again, right now in science, grades 1 to 8, we have one achievement chart. Grades 9 to 12, there is a different achievement chart with different definitions of categories. But there's also a draft achievement chart on the ministry website, and that is very different than what you have in your printed documents. So that's the draft, and that will become policy when we release our curriculum. Should probably go and look at it because it does have different components of it that change. For example, making connections is no longer in that achievement chart for science. It is called application, and it broadens that perspective of what is application. So that's something to go with. Some boards have moved to those. I know the board I came from, we moved everyone to the new achievement charts just because it was easier, it was the same language, but it depends on your board. So we're reviewing elementary and secondary together, we're reviewing English and French together, we're only going to change things that need changing, we're not going to change everything just for the sake of changing. And basically we have had extensive consultation in the last year of where things are and where we're going with it. As of today, and I'll say that because things are moving at the ministry as we speak, this is the review process and the review cycle. So we started, the team consists of myself for 9 to 12, a gentleman who was seconded from Peel District School Board for grades 1 to 8, science and technology, who is going back to his board, and someone from Waterloo Region is coming in to take over year 2 of this cycle for 1 to 8, and a gentleman from Waterloo Catholic doing the technological ed. We all started September 6th of this year at the ministry, and we have been going through that blue part on that diagram. We then start summer revision writing, which starts July 10th with the writers, and then we go through feedback consultation, editing next January, February, March, and as we get on the road to do our road shows, April, May, June for training, we're still doing editing, and we do implementation training up until June, and right now, the process is implementation for September 1st, 2007, grades 1 to 12, science and technology, technological education, and science. So that's the timeline as of today. We'll see where that goes. So here's the four stages, and this is where your diagram comes in and our job description and what we've done and where we're going. And when I signed on my contract, I thought, yes. And then I got looking at everything and I thought, am I crazy? Because some days I am crazy. And I see what's ahead of me and I see what we've done and I think we still have a lot of work to do. I have 18 courses to review, revise, and train before next June. And so there is a big challenge there. And how do we make everything flow together? Because that's the biggest challenge, I think. So here's my job description and here's what we've done. if you take this diagram and basically draw a line between analysis and synthesis box and the revision team, that's where we are right now. Anything above that line we have done or we're almost finished doing. Anything below the line will happen next year. And that's where we are. So, what have we done? Well, analysis. We have done technical analysis. What we did in October, November, is every subject association was to elect representatives from their association to come in, make actual suggestions on the content in the documents. And what these people did, we had them for 5 days. They went expectation by expectation in a database. And they said, this is good, this is bad, get rid of it, this makes no sense, why is this example here, what does this do with this topic, how are these things related? That's basically what they did with every expectation. There are, in the current Science 9 to 12 document, 11 courses or parts of courses that have physics components to them. So we had a team of 4 physics educators from across the province, all of which were classroom teachers. Okay, I'll tell you that right now. Part of the mandate of all of these processes is that they are classroom teachers or coordinators and consultants in science education. And that's what has to happen. That's really important to keep in mind. It's not people who aren't teaching in the science field. Also, that was one part we did. Another part we did is we said we did the big tour of Ontario. Where can you go in November in Ontario that's hot and lovely? So I went to Dryden, had a snowstorm, barely landed in Sioux Lookout. It was exciting, in a little 6-seater airplane where there were 2 of us on the plane. We had to sit on opposite sides and we had our stuff in the middle because that was the way the plane was. We traveled all over the province doing focus groups, and I know some of you were at some of the focus groups where we actually asked board teams, again of classroom teachers, to come and tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, and how can we fix it. We took those. We received 13 of those reports from across the province. We had to take them, compile them, put them all together into what the classroom teachers said. So we had a technical analysis, we had the focus groups from around the province, and we've also done what we call stakeholder consultations. So we have gone out to the Council of Ontario Universities. They've given us a report. It was 42 pages long on how to improve the science curriculum. We went to the Association of Community Colleges of Applied Arts and Technology. They've given us a report. We have gone out to 7 ministries within the province of Ontario to give us information or reports on the current curriculum. Ministry of Energy, Ministry of the Environment, Ministry of Agriculture and Food, all across the different ministries across the province. We also did a parent consultation, a student consultation. We did a workplace consultation of 5 different regions from employer groups who get students coming from our high school panel. Also we dealt with the Ministry of Special Education, and we also dealt with the faculties. We had meetings with them. So we've gathered all of those reports. From all of those reports, we also got what we call a benchmarking report. So this is what we're doing in the province of Ontario. What's everybody else doing? How do we compare to other provinces in Canada, as well as other international jurisdictions? And we chose international jurisdictions based on how well we have done compared to them in international science testing. So Finland, who scores always in the top 2 or 3%, we chose their curriculum to look at. We also chose Korea, because again, they go in the top percent. And we had to choose the UK, which is interesting, because of their literacy numeracy components that we're moving forward with. So we chose them to compare as well. We also chose the East Coast, and we chose Alberta, because Alberta always scores very high in Canada on these international testing. How does their curriculum compare to ours? What do we have? What do they have? And how does it all work together? One thing to keep in mind in our benchmarking report and those of other places in Canada is all of our curriculum across Canada are written to the Pan-Canadian Protocol, which was a document that was written in 1997 that says this is the content across Canada we would like everyone to try to cover. And so that's where it is. That's where our curriculum was originally was written from, and that's where other provinces were written from as well. So that's how it's all going together. We also had a research report done by a university, a faculty at a university, on what are the trends in science education in all of the components of science education to put as part of our information. So what we've done over the last month and a half, basically, is taken that information. We've had to put it all together. We came up with what we call a synthesis report. So basically is what has the field said, what needs changing, what to keep, because there are good things there we should keep. What do we need to keep? What do we need to change? And more specifically, how do we change it? Because there are lots of things we need to change, but the how is the important piece, because that's where we're moving forward with all of our information. We have done that. Hopefully, as of today, the goal is that that report now moves what we call upstairs. It moves to the managers, the directors, the assistant deputy minister, the deputy minister, and we get approval on what we would like to do to the curriculum, to revise it. And I will say it's revising. We are not throwing it all out. It is taking what we currently have and improving, but I will say one mandate that is a given mandate is that there will be less quantity in this document. If you look at the science document right now, I know my colleague in 1-8, they had to do an expectation count. The only course in secondary school that has more expectations than any elementary course is our grade 9 academic science. Grade 1 and grade 2 science have more expectations than any of our secondary science courses. So there is a large outcry when you look at quantity. So we're not just going to combine stuff. There has to be things that go. What goes and how it goes is the important component we've received from the field, and we have received really good information from that. We're also working with our French colleagues. Keep in mind that in French language schools across the province, they use the exact same curriculum as we do. So we are working in conjunction with them. Their writers will be in at the same time as we are this summer, and we will be writing in conjunction with them. They don't offer as many of the courses as we do, but all of the courses have to be parallel throughout the process. So, where does this leave where we are? How do you help, and where do we go with what we're doing? As we call the year 3 part of this discussion, we've basically gone across the province and looked at all kinds of different information. We've done the focus groups, we've done individuals. Individuals have sent us reports. When I go across the province, I say, you know what, send me the information you want to send me. Because I think one of the hardest parts is that we say, you know, I just wish I could have said this, or I wish I could have had an input on this. And sometimes that input is really important. And you're the practicing people. You're the ones that said, you know what, I've tried this so many times, it does not work. So that's where we need feedback. So where do you fit into this cycle or this process or what we're doing? We've done the focus groups. We've done the technical analysis. We're getting ready to do the writing. One of the things that's really important for us during summer writing, and we've heard very much so across the province, especially in the grade 9 and 10 science courses and in the programs there, is you know what? We need more examples. We need more supports for teachers, and I think we've heard from last night and even today that one of the biggest challenges is we have science teachers who might not have background in one of the sub-disciplines of science, doing their best and trying their hardest to do those kinds of things. Keeping in mind, the curriculum is the what. The how is the challenge. And that's what Paula said this morning. It's the challenge of how do we then take that what and make it work in the classroom. One of the things we're thinking about, and we don't have approval, and it's all these things, and I hesitate to say these because what usually happens is you'll go home from here and the ministry person said we're going to have this in the curriculum. And that's not what's going to happen. But some of the ideas that have come forward in the mathematics curriculum, I don't know if you've seen the new 9 and 10 mathematics curriculum. It looks very different than the mathematics curriculum that was out there in 1997. They've embedded what they call sample problems to give teachers ideas of what it could look like. Those are ideas we're moving toward. This government that we're in right now is moving toward more of the how in the what. And that is the biggest challenge, how to get both of those in a balance. The other big challenge is how do we try to make a curriculum so that it's broad enough for students to experience all aspects of a content area. So we can't just focus on one part of physics. We have to try to make physics open. So we're giving them opportunity to see the breadth of that document or of that area, but we also need depth. And that's one of the challenges right now. I think it's very broad. We've got a lot, but is it deep enough? And that's one of the challenges we struggle with. How much time? There's no time other than 110 hours in this document. So how much focus do you put on things? And when I was teaching, there were certain topics I liked. I probably spent more time on those because I enjoyed them. Probably in, you know, the others I didn't cover as well. That's fine because that's our professional judgment. That's the what piece. So as we go through, the second page I've handed out to you is if you want and if you have time, and I have cards here, you can hand these to me now. We can talk about them. I'm going to take some questions. What are the areas for improvement? But more specifically, if this is a challenge and we need this to be fixed, the how to fix it. Because we've got a list of pages of the what, but we need the how now. So what are the suggestions? How do we fix it? How are the things that need to be changed? We know that there are things that are going to stay the same. We also know there are things that are going to change. And that's part of the important component of an association helping. After we do the summer writing this summer, we're going to go to feedback consultation. Feedback consultation will happen probably in November of this coming year. That's where you will see a draft of the curriculum. It will be posted on a ministry website. There will be a 3-week, if we go by timelines of things that have happened, about a 3-week window for boards and subject associations to give us input on the good, the bad, and the ugly of what we've done over the summer. Then that information is taken back. We do another revision. We bring in the summer writing people again. We bring in other people who've given us ideas, given us input, given us information. And we ask them, okay, this is what the field has said. How do we improve it? So again, we do another revision that will probably occur November, December, January of this coming year, 2006, 2007. We then go to the provincial editors. We edit. We bring it out to the field, we train, and then we hopefully have you using it. The other component that I want to talk about is textbooks, because textbooks are an important component of what we've been getting feedback on. The publishers are part of our discussion. We are meeting with publishers at the end of June to have a discussion with them about this is what we are hearing, these are the things that might be changing. I cannot tell you today what is going to change because I don't know yet. We don't have approval for anything. But at that point in time, publishers then have a heads up on how to work and where to work and what to do if they're going to change textbooks or if they're not. And that's up to them. We don't deal with money in my branch either. That's another branch of textbooks and publishing and do they get money and do schools get money and all those things. We look at historically with implementation, There has been money rolled out every year for every new curriculum document for textbooks and supports. So if we look at a historical perspective, social studies, history, geography, Canadian and world studies has received money, mathematics has received money, language arts is being rolled out now, kindergarten is being rolled out now. All those are in funding formulas that the boards are getting. So I would say we're pretty good to bet on that there will be money for textbooks. But that's still kind of in the open area where we are. So that's where we are right now. We've got a team coming in this summer of 29 writers from across the province. I'm looking very forward to it because it's a really exciting group of people, from people with 5 years of teaching experience to people with 30 years of teaching experience. And so that is really broadening our perspective of provincial, where we are and where we're going in science education. So what I'll do, I know we're lunchtime and all that, and we've been sitting, but I'll take about 3 or 4 questions if there are any, and I have cards here, and I'll stay and answer questions later. Or if you have input, I'd love to hear about it. We're still in the input part, and I know I had some discussions last night with some people, and great ideas, and I have written them madly down. So there's a gentleman way at the back with his hand up. I would think the precedent has been set in mathematics, and I think that is probably where we're going to move in science. Lots of talk. Both sides of the spectrum, lots of talk, I'll tell you that. From it's the best unit we've ever had to get rid of it, nobody gets it. So we've had that spectrum as well. Of everything. And I'll tell you that. That's the other challenge. How do you bring everything to the middle? But motion has been a very large discussion and will keep being a discussion. Okay? You're welcome. Yes? Yes? It is a very focused recommendation. It is one of the key recommendations we're putting forward. We've done a lot of research on it. I will like to say that I've received a lot of research papers on it from different faculties, from the COU report, from the Faculty of Ed report, and all those things. So we are going to try to move forward with that because we have moved forward in science education with that. It's one of those science education research pieces. It's hopefully going forward. That's as much as I can tell you right now. Will it be there? It includes all courses for revision that are in the current 2 policy documents. The SNC, the locally developed courses that were written provincially but are locally developed, we are recommending that they go in the pathways component of the document. We're not revising them as part of the cycle. Okay? But they're going to be integral in where we're going. But all the other courses, the workplace, the science courses, all of those 18 courses are part of this summer revision.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have to say, you are a great communicator.
Oh, thank you.
There's a lot of stuff that's going on.